Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awakened Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here. And this is the summer-autumn series for 2019. And I'm so excited that we have Maya Boston on the show again this season. And I was just saying that we had so much fun last season talking about Lemuria and, oh my goodness, so much. It's like I'm so looking forward to having another conversation. We'll see exactly what we talk about today. But for those of you who may not know Maya, she's based in Western Australia near Perth, and she's an international light language channel and activator, a speaker and teacher in practice for over 13 years, facilitating workshops around the world. Her work is focused on opening the heart and mind of humanity through sound by using frequencies to change each listener's brainwaves, which touches their deepest parts and assists with overcoming long-held blocks, simultaneously creating a space into which the listener can expand into. Hold on one second. And so during her gong sound bath sessions, which are amazing, Maya channels light language and translates it into sound, harmonizing her three gongs to create a multidimensional soundscape. And these sounds, together with the light codes, help to restructure our energy patterns so that we remember the multidimensional nature of our being. So you can read more about Maya on the live page or in the email, but because I really want to get started on talking about, you know, we're going to be talking about the Circle of Oneness, the Temples of Lemuria, part one. And so we're going to be also listening to a 5-minute track as well during this this call. And we're going to be taking some live caller questions and so much more. So we'll see what else we're going to do. So Maya, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Alara. I'm so excited to be here again. Thank you for inviting me back, and thank you to your community for having me. I just had such a wonderful time last time, so I'm looking forward to having another wonderful session with you all.
Awesome. Thank you. And, you know, talking about Lemuria, when we were talking with you, especially last time, it was like, I don't know, it was like magical because you were talking about so many different things, and it's like, wow, we have to continue this conversation. It's taken a couple of months, but we have to definitely continue this conversation, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, you know, in the meantime, I'm kind of coming out of the closet with more and more stuff. So
yay. That's awesome. So what else is new that you're coming out with?
Well, I'm really being pushed to explain how my sound works because I'm not your typical sound practitioner. And so again, this year, I was told very sternly through a reading I had with somebody earlier in the year that I have a lot of respect for. And I was told, I've got to talk about it. It's got to come out. And so the way that I work with sound is very different to the way that I guess I hear myself through others. And I can't really put that so much into words because it's so much a part of me, which was, of course, seeded into my Akash by the Star Mothers in Lemuria. But the way that I work with sound for the listener is that when you listen to the sounds that I'm doing now through not just the gongs but the voice as well, it is bridging into oneness. This is what I'm told. What I have always done. I've done it. Now I just got to speak about it. and so I'm helping the listener as they're listening to my various tracks. I'm helping them bridge the two hemispheres of the brain, and so because eventually the evolution of humanity will be that we will not have two hemispheres operating in separation. Mm-hmm. So we always talk about left hemisphere, right hemisphere. It'll be one brain, so in unity consciousness. My sound is also bridging between the brainwave states, so the alpha, beta, delta, theta, and bridging across to gamma, because gamma is where we are evolving into, and gamma brainwave state is of course about abundance and thriving, because we're coming out of this survival paradigm. And also in terms of the chakras, my sound is also bridging the chakras, so eventually humanity's chakras will collapse into one chakra, the heart chakra. So I'm not just working for humanity, but these are the things I'm doing for humanity and the planet at the same time, because of course we're inextricably connected to our beloved planet. And of course where I am today, mm-hmm. it is the solstice. So I'm coming to you from the future.
Right.
and yeah, it's just, I know we were talking earlier about the energies really increasing. So yeah, just honoring the cycles of the planet, as we always have done.
Yeah.
In times past.
We always have for a while. Exactly, because now it seems like we're just so distracted by the material world and technology and everything else that we forget that how connected we are to the seasons, the moon, the cycles, the earth, everything. We really are. And once we get back into touch with that, we get back into touch with ourselves, right?
Oh, absolutely. And vice versa too. You know, if someone's just focusing on going within, and it cannot be any other way but to also be connecting back to the planet, because our whole biology has come from the planet. We are inextricably connected to this planet, to the level of sunlight that we receive on the planet, to the moon that, you know, as we mentioned, affects the waters on this planet, and mm-hmm. we're more than 70% water. So it cannot be any other way but affect us, you know, to the very air that we breathe, which is produced by the vegetation on this planet, and then what we exhale, that this vegetation breathes that in and converts it back to what we need. So the level of gravity on the planet, everything, you know, on this planet is designed for this biology that we inhabit. So, so you know, when was the last time you thought about the quality of air that you breathe?
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. even, you know, do we give gratitude for the food that we eat? You know, it's all those little things, you know, of being grateful for the abundance. You know, we abundance isn't just financial abundance. It's abundance of everything, you know, that we have air on the planet to breathe, and we have plenty of sunshine that keeps us healthy, and, you know, all the things that this planet provides that is probably even beyond our knowing and understanding.
Absolutely. But we can start with being grateful for, yes. you know, all of the gifts and all the abundance that Mother Earth provides for us, right? As well as spirit. Yeah. Because everything we receive is from spirit, from source, right?
Absolutely. Well, yes, as above, so below. Yes. And that's where we're going, to the unity of what is above, unifying with what is below. So the spirit with the physical, that is where we're all heading. That is our evolution. In the old earth paradigm, we just focused on the spiritual and kind of left the body behind. But mm-hmm. that is not how we are understanding things today. We cannot move forward unless we take the body forward with us, and that includes, you know, as you feel, as your body is asking you to change your diet, and, you know, do things, do more self-care, you know, things aside from diet, exercise, you know, meditation, you know, all those things of feeling, all those positive emotions of gratitude and compassion and love and understanding, tolerance, acceptance for others and ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, you know, that's where it starts. It starts with ourselves. And then from that space, we can, you know, include everybody else, right? But if we don't even acknowledge ourselves or be grateful for ourselves or appreciate ourselves, you know, can we really appreciate others as you know, authentically?
Oh, absolutely. And that also works the other way. That's a double-edged sword, because others can only love and appreciate and accept us to the level that we love and appreciate and accept ourselves.
Absolutely. So, you know, and so you're right. It is a circle, right? And it comes back to the oneness and knowing that we are all connected, right? And that we are not just connected, but we are interrelated, right? Everything we do is interrelated with somebody else, something else, some other force, right?
Absolutely. And we're only just beginning to understand that, because we're only just beginning to come out of separation one baby step at a time. But then think about, you know, we're thinking about just ourselves and our immediate environments, perhaps we're only thinking about ourselves and the planet. But then there's a bigger picture as well. You know, whatever happens on this planet also affects what goes on in our solar system and what goes on in the rest of the galaxy. So it's big circles within circles.
Yes, absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about the circle of oneness as well as how that relates to Lemuria, you know, and where we are now.
Okay, so I've had a lot of comments from clients lately coming to me and saying, I'm hearing about Lemuria everywhere I turn. And yes, it's coming up more and more. And I think the prophecy was always that Lemuria would rise once more. But I think a lot of people took that literally and thought it would literally rise out of the ocean again, where it was really just referring to the energy of Lemuria. And we've had the Lemurian grids open up activated and opened up. And so we are hearing more and more about Lemuria. And so if you are hearing more and more about Lemuria, this is a call to you to maybe, you know, go and get some curiosity, find out what Lemuria is about, and find out how that relates to you, because in Lemuria we were very lucky. It was a civilization that was around for around 33,000 years, and it was pretty much constant throughout that period of time. We don't understand that a culture could go on for that long, because, you know, if we go back even to Roman times, they were only around for 500-600 years. But if we go back to the Egyptians, of course, they were around for a lot longer. They were around for about 3,000 years, I think. And then so for something to go on for 33,000 years is literally unheard of in our recent history.
Right. Yeah.
And so my understanding is that the longer a civilization is around, the more true to itself it is. And so this is why Lemuria was around for so long. But we were lucky, because not only was it an island continent where it couldn't be invaded that easily, and it couldn't go to war that easily with others. It remained pure for all that time that it was above sea level. Mm-hmm. But we also had the Star Mothers who came to instruct us. And this is what the circle of oneness is. It is how they taught us that things are in a circle, and there are there are six aspects to the circle of oneness, and in the package today, of course, I'm talking about three of them. Mm-hmm. And so there's three aspects in the circle of oneness today, and so this circle of oneness was taught to us as children, and yeah, we had school in Lemuria, but not like we have it today. We didn't have it every day. Children were actually allowed to be children. Mm-hmm. And we had lots of time to play and enjoy our surroundings and have fun and learn and be curious. And also we had that connection time with the Star Mother who taught us in school, which was around these cycles of the moon. And so we probably just attended once a month as we would know it today. Right. Because they didn't have a calendar back then, so it was hard to tell. You know, birthdays weren't celebrated exactly on the day because the stars were noted at the time of birth, and then we always looked for the exact same star alignment, and we counted that as one year. So so it wasn't so exact as we are today. But still understanding there was, you know, the understanding of the connection with the stars, with our galactic family, and, of course, which the Star Mothers were with us to teach us all about that. And then, you know, we had other aspects, the innocent, the God spark, the creator, full circle, and an aspect that I call your reflection. And these words, these names are not so much the names that we called them in Lemuria, but more what the concept is about and today as I can best interpret it, remembering it from my Akash.
Mm-hmm. So you've been doing a lot of work in the Akash with regards to your time in Lemuria.
Yes. Yes, a lot of remembering the Star Mother, and you know, at first I was just being triggered into remembering bits and pieces here and there. It was very sporadic, and I couldn't make sense of it many years ago. And once I started visiting power nodes on the planet, I started to pick up a lot more information, a lot more. Was being activated inside of me, and since then I've understood that as a star seed, and we as star seeds, all of us, mm-hmm. we can go to these places on the planet, and we have key codes for the planet. Each one of us carries codes that would activate things on the grid for the planet, but also in return we also get activations. And get certain parts of us activated. So for me, it was my Akash and the remembering. And I remember sitting at the sacred rock, the Puma rock on the island of the sun in the middle of Lake Titicaca a number of years ago, asking, why am I here?
Yeah.
I was very confused what I was participating in. I stepped away from because I was there with a group. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, why am I here? And very loudly and very clearly, the Puma spoke to me. Literally, I could hear it on this side, and I turned my head and it was right there. This black Puma was sitting next to me, mm-hmm. and speaking to me and telling me why I was there and what my purpose was. So I asked it for more information, and it asked me to leave some of my crystals behind, which I hid in a lovely little secret place so no one can find them. and that's how I keep in contact with the sacred rock on the island of the sun in Lake Titicaca, which is one of the places in my past lives. Of course, after I was there at the end times of Lemuria, mm-hmm. And when we, my group of canoes that took off from Lemuria ended up in South America, and I ended up in the mystery schools on the island of the sun in Lake Titicaca.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so, you know, you finding out that information about your past in Lemuria, is that something that you help people with now?
Yes, because in remembering as much as I do about Lemuria, what is happening for others is I'm activating this within their Akash as well. So they start remembering. It might be some memory that I have. It might be the song that I play. You know, it's any number of things that I do that activates within them in their Akash, their Lemurian heritage. And the more Lemurians that are awakened now at this point, the more light there is on the planet, because they're anchoring that light, which was part of the original blueprint. So we got the original blueprint and we were kept pure for a reason, so that we, once Lemuria sunk, Lemurians then went out into the world to take, because otherwise we never would have left if the island hadn't sunk.
Right.
And I think that's why we feel so much trauma, because we feel like we were literally kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And so we were sent out across the world to anchor this energy across the planet. Should humanity ever get to the point where it chooses ascension, that energy is then available first in the Lemurians, because it'll awaken in them, and then it will awaken. The Lemurians then spread that light across to the rest of humanity.
So most of the people that are on these types of calls, you know, are some of the people that are on these types of calls, they probably have Lemurian heritage, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You would not be here and you would not be interested in the topic of Lemuria if you were not Lemurian.
Yeah.
It is the call. It is kind of the, the password, the activation code that awakens Lemurians. So they might be living their lives and not ever have thought about Lemuria, and suddenly they hear the word Lemuria and they're like, what? What's that about? I need to find out more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was me like several years ago anyways. You know, it's like when I first heard about Lemuria, it's like, oh, what? Where? What? When was that? Was I there? You know, and then, of course, I found out that, yes, I was, you know, which is not surprising. But it's just so fascinating because there are more and more people, you know, we hear about Lemuria all the time now, right? Everywhere we hear about it, which is great. Yeah. And so people are tapping into that knowledge, that wisdom, and the gifts that they had at that time, right? And now bringing that forward into the world now.
Yes. We were, once we had reached the age of puberty, the Star Mother gave us assignments, if you like. Mm-hmm. It was a suggestion. It was more of a suggestion to say, well, this is what you're most suited for, if you would like to explore this more. And, or, you know, because this is the planet of free will, or we could go off and do whatever we wanted. Mm-hmm. But most Lemurians took the Star Mother's advice.
Yep. Why wouldn't you, right?
Oh, well, I didn't at first. And then I could see with what was going on in my life that I really had not gone down the right path for myself. So then I went with what the Star Mother had suggested, mm-hmm. which is not unusual for me.
And that was better?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was better. Yes. And of course, in Lemuria, what we need to understand is that women were the spiritual center of Lemurian culture. It was not that women were better than men. Women just had gifts. It's the way that our brains are wired, mm-hmm. that predisposes us to gifts, whereas men have their own gifts with the way their bodies and their brains are wired, and it did what they were best at. So we were, it was a very, the gender roles were very specific in Lemuria, and it wasn't that one gender was better than the other, and neither gender thought they were any better than the other. They simply understood that they were two parts of a whole, And that as two team members, they can work together to create something more than the sum of their parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is understanding the gender roles was an integral part of Lemurian society. So then we kind of fast forward to Atlantis. And so what we have in Atlantis is, again, Lemurians trying to recreate Lemuria. So again, they located an island and they started from what they could remember from their Akash. They started up, and again, women were the center of the spiritual center of that culture. But then in the great cycle of reincarnation, of course, some women who were women in Lemuria were now men in Atlantis. And remembering what they did from Atlantis, from Lemuria, they brought that forward in through their male bodies into Atlantis. And this is where this is where the imbalance was created. Instead of sticking to what men were to do, that when men, we now had men doing what women used to do, and this is where their downfall, the downward spiral began. And what men do most is go outside of themselves. That is the masculine. We all have the masculine and feminine within.
Right.
So the masculine is the outward expression. So this is where they then began to create tools outside of themselves. And then we had influences, again, galactic influences, thinking it was the same thing as in Lemuria. We had galactic influences that then, again, were showing us technology and how to work with technology. And here we are today, all this time later, and we're still using outside tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so where Atlantis was predominantly masculine, Lemuria has a more feminine feel. And so now that we're in this Atlantean paradigm, we need to bring the Lemurian paradigm up into balance with it so that we once again bring the whole thing back into balance. So Lemuria didn't have outside tools. We were always going inward. It was inward reflection. It was an inward knowing. Our DNA was functioning at 55%. Today, our DNA functions somewhere between 33% and 35%. We de-evolved by going and looking for answers outside of ourselves. So this is where the balancing up is coming in, why Lemuria is rising again. And this is why we need to connect in, especially as women, to but if you're a man, then you're connecting in with your feminine side. And creating that balance within yourself. So it's all about balance. And this is why Lemuria is coming to the fore again, to remind us of the balance that we once had, to remind us of how powerful we truly are, to remind us that we are so much more than what we think we are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing, is that we forget we've been programmed to believe that we're less than, we're not enough, we're not good enough, we're limited, you know, but in essence, you know, that's all wrong. That's all false, right? And so now it's like the more and more that we are starting to go within, connect to our divine feminine as, you know, as well, you know, we're starting to tap into that and bring that out, you know, coming out, right? And sharing our gifts with the world, the planet is changing, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that even the Dalai Lama says that the women in the West will create the change, because we are the ones who have the most freedom at the moment. We are the ones who are holding and anchoring this energy for our sisters in other parts of the world that do not have this kind of freedom that we have.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, we are light workers here in the West, and we have all this freedom, but we're not just these little dots of light. You know, like I always think of lighthouses shining their light out into the darkness. But we are a network of light workers mm-hmm. on the planet, because we are all one, we are all connected. Yeah. And even there are light workers in those parts of the planet where there aren't so that many freedoms. And so we are also connected to those light workers, and we send them energy, and we send them light and love to help support them, because they have chosen to anchor the light in probably the darkest corners right. of our planet. So we are a network across the planet.
Absolutely. I just wanted to address Delina. Yes, there will be a replay. The replay will go out later in a couple of hours, and then it'll be on the replay page and YouTube and podcast. So yes, definitely lots of important information that, you know, Maya is sharing with us about Lemuria, about her time there, about our time in Lemuria. And one of the things that you mentioned, Maya, that I know everybody would just love, you know, you mentioned that the Star Mother, you know, back then, she would suggest to you, you know, your proper job, or, you know, vocation, or, you know, whatever you're supposed to do. And I know most people nowadays, they would love that, you know, because sometimes people just like, I don't know what to do, you know, and especially when they're just starting out on this path, right? You know, there's like, they're overwhelmed with so much information and energy and downloads. And we were just talking about receiving so many downloads right now, because there's a lot of shifting happening on the planet, right?
Yeah, and so we serve in many different ways. You know, not every woman was assigned to the Temple of Mu. Not every woman was a mother. That mm-hmm. to become a mother was a sacred calling, and it required the understanding and knowing of your body, like every woman did in Lemuria. But then she heard the calling of the soul from the other side to be brought through into the physical. And this is where women have lost their way a lot, because of the paradigm that we have lived in for so long. As women are sacred, we must begin to understand we are sacred. We have this amazing portal within us that has the capability of bringing a soul from the spirit world through into the physical form, into this world. And this has been forgotten. In Lemuria, it was one of the highest callings mm-hmm. to become mother. Now, you can imagine on an island that not everybody had a child, because otherwise the island would have been overpopulated long ago, before the end of its time, after 33,000 years. It was a constant number in the population, simply because it was a sacred calling. This wasn't done I've just found myself pregnant, I need to have this child. It was a sacred calling. It was very conscious. Mm-hmm. So some women were called to be mothers. Some were called to be to assist mothers before the birth and during the birthing time and after the birth. Some were called to just look after the children, to give the mothers a break. Mm-hmm. Some were called to be with the sick and the dying. Because there was such a thing on Lemuria. It was, again, this is the planet of free will. It was all about a soul's journey and the experiences that a soul wished to have in its lifetime on Lemuria. And so there were women who were chosen to, who were given the assignment to, you know, grow a garden, or, you know, pick flowers to decorate, because it was such a joyful thing to be in Lemuria. We all woke up with joy in our hearts every single morning. We woke up with a song on our lips every single morning. And there were many times during the day when we sang, when we picked a flower, when we enjoyed nature, because we understood we were one with the planet. So we talked to plants, we talked to animals and the insects, we talked to the whales and the dolphins in the ocean, even though we were on land. You know, we understood that we were one with everything, and there were no limiting thoughts about, oh, am I doing this right? Is this actually a good thing or a bad thing? Nobody ever thought that. It just was, because we had that level of confidence that we knew how we were designed to be. So the assignments suggested by the Star Mother were according to what she would see in our souls as part of the contract that we came in with. And of course, the Star Mother was there at the birthing pool. You know, yes, we had water births, mm-hmm. you know, from the waters of the womb of the mother, where the child would be birthed into the waters of the planetary mother. And of course, there's no such thing as chance. The waters of the birthing pool were spring waters coming up from the heart of Mother Gaia, and it was the right temperature for the child to be birthed into this water, into the waters. Mm. Yeah, it was just perfect. No surprise. And the woman would be assisted by other women during the birthing process, and of course, the Star Mother would come. And the child would be presented to her, and she would look into the eyes of the child and recognize it immediately, because a lot of us came across from the Pleiades star system. So she would recognize us immediately from the Pleiades, but then there were many of us who came from other star systems as well. So this being, you know, if you think back to the Earth and there wasn't a large population, where did the population come from? Right. Well, of course, we came from the stars. Mm-hmm. Where else?
Absolutely. And in you know, and so now we're starting to go back to that way of being, you know, having, you know, the water births, having doulas, you know, being, you know, with more women again, you know, like, you know, being mm-hmm. with women more and more. It's like we're starting to recognize what worked. Right, that worked for us,
yes.
Right?
Yes, as women, it worked for us. And of course, the women were singing the whole time. The women were singing. So the first thing that a child hears is the singing of the women's voices, welcoming it into the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how amazing is that? You know, and the joy, you know, the joy that, you know, it's a joyous welcome. You know, it's not, you know, an intense silence, which happened in my birthing process. The intense silence, and everybody was so silent. You know, nobody even told me the sex of my child, because they were a little bit concerned, because he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his throat once. And so they were so focused in the, it was really just seconds, but for me as a birthing mother, you know, it seemed like an eternity.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all focused on him and will he take his first breath, that I was like, I think I was holding my own breath. And I was like, well, what is it? Tell me. And I'm looking at their faces because I can't see down there.
Mm-hmm.
and there's, you know, and then finally they don't, you know, I had to ask. You know. And then in that moment they had got the cord untied from around his neck, and they did the little bit of suction in his mouth, and then I heard his cry, and then they placed him on my belly, you know, which was that first contact on the outside. So, you know, I think thinking back to that moment, I think it would have been much more joyous if they were singing.
Definitely. Most definitely, yes. I mean, nowadays, you know, births are quite traumatic, or can be, you know, but
absolutely, you know, the slapping of the child.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I know when I heard my son cry, I was like just so relieved, you know. It was that relief, you know, after you know, hearing him, and it's like, ah, oh, thank God, you know. It's like and then they took him, you know, then they took him, and he was gone to do, you know, to do whatever was needed to be done. You know, so you don't even get that, you know, a lot of that bonding right away either. But, different times, but we're starting to go back to that, you know, and, you know, like Linda's saying, we were set with so much more telepathic back then than we are now, you know, and now, number one, we're not telepathic. Number two, we don't express ourselves even verbally, right? We didn't even say what we need. We don't even talk about stuff, you know, where I'm assuming back then there was lots of communication, right? And authentic communication.
Absolutely, because we didn't have television or our mobile phones to distract us either. You know, if you can imagine, there was no entertainment at night. What did you do? You know, so we sat around the fire and we spoke candidly about what went on, you know, in our lives. And of course, we had sacred ceremonies. You know, the men did their work and the women did their work. And of course, there were opportunities for the women to speak in the circle and to speak about how they felt and what was going on for them in their lives. And of course, there were other women who responded who had who maybe had more life experience and wisdom. And so it was shared, you know, and it wasn't judged. That was, you know, because it was just, oh, is that what you're going through? Oh, I went through something similar and, you know, this was my experience. And so there was no projection or anything like that. It was just spoken out frankly, honestly, freely about what was going on, and honest and frank information was shared back. So we had time for that. We don't have time for that. You know, how many circles have we sat in the last in the last 6 months?
You know? Yeah, true, very true. And, you know, and nowadays, you know, people are wary of speaking their truth because of being judged, you know, and being rejected, you know, so there isn't that feeling of oneness, there isn't that feeling of acceptance, there isn't that feeling of togetherness, you know, as much as there should be or could be.
Yeah. And that was the thing in Lemuria. It was this deep, deep connection that we knew. We had this deep spiritual connection to everything around us, to spirit, to the stars, to the planet, to each other, you know, to ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a deeper connection within ourselves, and we knew that, and it was instilled in us from a very early age. It was role modeled to us by the adults in the society as we grew up. So it was always there. It could not have been any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so hopefully we're starting to go back to that. So if we, you know, most of us probably have Lemurian heritage. So if we wanted to connect back into that knowledge, that wisdom, that time, that place, what can we do?
Well, it's there in your Akash. So, and your Akash, of course, belongs, is under the, no, I wouldn't say belongs, but it does belong, I guess, to your body wisdom, your inner body wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so this physical body generates a field around it, and the Akash is in the field. I know we used to go to libraries in the galaxy somewhere and look up our Akash, but our understanding is it's a lot closer to home than we thought it was. And the field around us, the Merkabic field, some just call it the field. There's many different names for it now, but this energy field that we have around us that is quite vast, it's about 8 meters in diameter. It does contain many more things than just our Akash. And but if you speak to your body, if you speak to the cells in your body, which are generating this energy field, which holds the Akash, then of course you can go back to that time and access it. Mm. But I guess I can also take you through a meditation.
Awesome. That'd be great. Yeah. Great segue. You know, it just happened that way. I just thought, you know, it'd be awesome if we could do that, you know.
Absolutely. I'd love to take you back to back to that time. So is that what we want to do now?
Yeah, let's do it. I think that would be fun. Well, I'm curious, right?
Okay, so if I could do the guided meditation first, and then if we could just follow on with the track.
Yep.
And that would keep people who's already in that meditative state, and then they could keep going through the sounds, and then I'll come back after the track.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Sounds good.
Okay, so let's just get comfortable in our seats and close our eyes. And take a deep breath in through the nose, right down into the abdomen. And exhale through the mouth. Just letting that breath fall out. As you take another deep breath in. And exhale. And one more time, deep breath in. And out. And continue in your natural rhythm of breathing, taking these deep cleansing breaths, and just notice your body. We're so used to breathing shallow from the chest. And breathing deeply, you'll notice that you can more easily connect with that center of stillness within. And you'll hear me speak light language. I'm just being prompted to speak. We just need a little bit of clearing. She haneke holale amuko le rukani hana mahi shuna he le kuno eno maha tene umuki hane haha. Just take a deep breath into that. And in your mind's eye, I'd like you to see yourself standing at the water's edge. The gentle waves lapping up around your ankles. The temperature of the water is just perfect. And the water is the lifeblood of Mother Gaiha. It is dawn. The sun is about to rise. And after your night's rest, you are connecting consciously with everything around you. There is a gentle breeze that caresses your skin. The fresh smell of the ocean fills your lungs. And the glow on the horizon tells you that the time of the rising of the sun is near. You can feel the soft white sand beneath your feet, and you can hear the crashing of the waves on nearby rocks.
that you are standing in a secluded cove where the water is very gentle and the sun now comes up above the horizon, and the first rays of the sun touch your skin. Hoshe hane mo kane ha hane ala amokai. There is such a sense of welcoming. It is as if everything comes alive in that moment. You don't need to hear the birds singing in the trees behind you. You already feel them. For in Lemuria, we used more than our five senses, the five physical senses. We knew and understood we were connected to everything. And the dolphins were joyously swimming in the ocean in front of us. We can hear their chirps and sounds. And we greet the dolphins. And further out into the ocean, we can hear the whales. And we greet the whales. And it's a warm, balmy morning. There's a song that is in your heart. And as you listen to the gongs, hear that song in your heart. You'd like to put that track on now, Alara.
Well, that's it. I had it.
And allow that memory to resurface, to be loved so intensely. And I will now speak some light language, which will assist in activating your memories of the mother. And just take a deep breath. Jani aha kuni mahani o hakiatini ore hani u kia kunia makia hana kia shune aale e kunu mahaki e rukuna hale ahania. Let's take a deep breath into that. Just notice your body. Notice how you're feeling. Notice the emotions it's bringing up within you. We are one. Shimeniya hakonohi tumaniha hakonohiya. Let's take another deep breath. And give yourself a few moments. Come back into the present moment. When you're ready, open your eyes.
So, as Linda says, hauntingly beautiful. And more. It's like, wow. I'm just like, oh, that was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm just reading the comments there. Yes, Linda. There is a doctor using dolphin sounds to help women give birth. But at the time in Lemuria, we were in a birthing pool, which was on land. Within a cave, a sacred cave, and so we would have had the dolphins join us, not so much through technology, but through our own abilities to connect telepathically to the cetaceans, but just the joy of it, the joy of being able to bring a life through into the physical was something that was celebrated not just by the women. And the men later, of course, but also by the whole of the planet and the galaxy. It just kind of amplified out across the galaxy.
So Lisa says, I thought to myself, do I have to come back? I thought the same thing. Lisa, do I have to come back? She said, I felt super relaxed and like I was floating. Really beautiful. I'm buzzing all over. I was completely buzzing, my whole head was completely buzzing too. It's like, so a lot of stuff was happening on the inside, you know?
Yeah.
Right, Lisa? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was powerful. I mean, I love the way that you play music with your gongs. It's just so, you know, it's like going deep into the ocean, but it's also about going deep into the galactic ocean, you know? I was like trying to capture that when I was in it. And it's like, am I in the ocean, like the watery ocean or the galactic ocean of space, you know?
And both at the same time, because we are one. We're multidimensional. So we can be in the ocean at the same time as being in the stars.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I remember years ago I'd gone, I was traveling through New Zealand, and there's a cave with glowworms in it, and you go through the cave in a canoe. So in complete darkness, they're paddling this canoe, this little boat, through the water, and in the darkness, when you look up in the sky, above you, you can see all these glowworms like stars in the sky. I thought, well, I'm underground, but I'm also out in the galaxy.
Exactly how it felt. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then along with your light language as well, you know, because I forgot that you did the light language. And so even with the light language, you know, I all sorts of different pieces and parts of me were being activated and triggered just listening to you. So thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
As I'm saying that, I'm feeling it again. So yeah. Exactly. It's like, whew. So anybody, did anybody experience something different with the light language as well? Or how was that for you? You know? So I was like, how was that for you? What did you experience? And were there any emotions coming up for any of you?
Oh, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, even I guess even in the few months since we last spoke, mm-hmm. you know, things have, you know, gone up a few notches. And of course, I'm also being pushed. I feel like I'm being pushed in the back. Speak. Mm-hmm. Speak. So this light language has to come out of me. Otherwise, I feel it. I feel the energy moving through me. But then if I don't speak it, then it gets stuck in my body. And and then I feel pain. I get pain in certain parts of my body, which tells me it's stuck. So I have to keep, you know, this is what I've agreed to. So I have to keep doing it.
Right. Good. Yeah. I mean, it's helpful for all of us as well, right? So it's helpful for you because it has to come out, and it's helpful for us who are willing to receive it. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for receiving it.
Yeah. And Lisa says, I felt completely at peace. Good. Yay. And, you know, and that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, when it comes to, when it comes to this music and the light language, we all experience different things, right? So some of us may experience deep peace. Some of us may have tears come up, you know, because the emotions are being released, right, and cleared, right? Yes. Some of us may have epiphanies of some sort of awarenesses or some sort of realizations. Did anybody have, like, that connection or knowing with the Star Mother? I mean, because, you know, or with their time in Lemuria?
Yeah, for me, when I connect with the Star Mothers, what I feel is intense heat. Mm-hmm. It's like a wave of energy that comes across me. I think, okay, that's the Star Mothers. Mm-hmm. So I think just depending on where you are on your journey and what this, you know, what the light language triggers within you, what it awakens, activates within you. And of course, nothing can be done without permission of your higher self, which is the other aspect of the sacred trinity of you. Right. You have you, which is the consciousness that you are in this lifetime, and you have the innate body wisdom, and you have your higher self, which is the sacred trinity there. And nothing comes through without permission from your higher self, because your higher self sees the bigger picture. It has been with you in every single lifetime, whether it was on this planet or another planet. And the light codes don't dissipate and disappear once they have come to your knowing. They're held there until you are ready for the next step, if they are not already working with you. Mm. So they're there, and it's almost like, you know, you would switch, you know, you turn the ignition on in your car, and so your engine is on, but you're not going anywhere. You're in neutral. Mm-hmm. So that's what the light codes would do. They would sit with you. They would activate you until you are ready to put that car into gear and move.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good. Yeah, I like that. And so how many of us are now ready to move forward, you know, move ahead with our mission, move ahead with our calling, move ahead with using our gifts and our talents and abilities, or just being more of who we truly are, just being us in this world, right?
Absolutely. But it's a journey, you know, and there's no time limit on it. It's not like, you know, we have to be at a certain point by the end of the year, and if we're not, then, you know, goodness knows what happens. It's not like that. It's simply, it happens in your own time. You unfold in your own time, just like a flower opens and blossoms in its own time. You know, if you've ever tried forcing a flower open, you'll notice that the petals are deformed, and it's not quite what it should have been. You know, it's a bit like trying to make that opening of the cocoon bigger so that the butterfly has easier access to come out. But it needs that small hole to push their juices through its wings so that its wings can open up. If you open up that hole and don't allow it to squeeze through, then the wings open up deformed. So in the same way we are, we are unfolding in our own time. Nothing is forced. You know, I would love to have known this, you know, 20 years ago. But, you know, yeah. 20 years ago, I was only just getting bits and pieces of information, not even understanding what it was all about. It wasn't until much later when I was ready. And when the rest of the world is ready, I'm just doing my little part. To hear what I have to say, that's when it started to unfold and to blossom. So everything in its own time, it's not a race. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. We know the destination. We've been there before. It's all about the journey, that all those experiences that we accumulate on the journey, that is how the divine within us it is how the divine within us knows itself. It's how it experiences itself. So it's all in divine timing, in your own time. It's not a race.
Yeah, so no pressure.
No pressure. Absolutely none. It happens. And it may not even be this lifetime. But, you know, when we come back next lifetime, of course, because we're in this new energy, we'll just pick up where we left off. See, before we were kind of reinventing the wheel every time we came in. We kind of had to start from scratch. But this time, and we know that because if we see the children that are being born now and some of the talent that's on the planet, my goodness, you know, it's like, wow, I can see you. I can see how you picked up where you left off and you're just carrying forward with, you know, with what you want to do, with your soul's purpose.
Yeah.
And so coming back to the purpose, the topic of the purpose, you know, the purpose didn't necessarily mean it was just one lifetime. It could carry over many lifetimes. I know mine certainly has this working with sound, and all the lifetimes that I've, you know, been in temples and monasteries and alone in the forest and you know, in royal courts, just so that I wasn't with the masses of people, but were also balanced out by other lifetimes where I was living and experiencing what others experienced. It's just in the ebb and flow of what we decide we want to experience before we come in. So it's all part of the grand purpose. and each one is doing their own little piece. You know, someone's, you know, doing interviews and someone is just, you know, someone is a mother, you know, teaching their children, and one is not more important than the other purpose. So they are both the same, and they're just doing it in different ways. So this was also what was in Lemuria, the woman, you know, who picked flowers and brought flowers for ceremonies was no less or more than the woman who gave birth, or even the Star Mother. The Star Mother taught us that when she taught us the circle of oneness, that no one part is more important than any other, and you'll find parts of one in all the others. That is why it is oneness.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. And so, speaking of the circle of oneness, and we're talking about Lemuria again, let's just take a few moments and talk about the special offers that you have available for us. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And those of you who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Maya6. That's Maya 6. And if you could just, I will also put the link in the chat here for those of you who are here and would like it. So Maya, if you can just talk a little bit about the special offer, that'd be awesome.
Sure. So there's a package A and a package B. And so package A has three pre-recorded meditations, each at least 30 minutes long. And the first, and of course this one I've called the Temples of Lemuria with a twist. So the first meditation is the Temple of the Sun, and
it relates
to the God spark within that which is divine within us, and the second one is the Temple of Joy, which relates to the innocent aspect of the Circle of Oneness. And the third meditation is the Temple of Reflection, where it relates to, of course, the aspect of your reflection. And all these three meditations have got light language. They have me explaining the concept, and of course they've got gongs in all three tracks. And then in package A, I've also included a bonus meditation, which is called the Mother's Gaze, the Love of the Mother, which to me, it was the remembering of the Star Mother from Lemuria. And then also I've included a studio album, Chakra Journey, which is one of my albums, studio albums I recorded a few years back. And I listened to it and I still feel it's relevant today as it was the day I recorded it. And then also as part of package A, there is a 30-minute personal session. So so you can have a one-on-one with me, and I usually just, people have questions that they bring about Lemuria, and sometimes people bring, you know, their issues, and I just, if we can work through it in the 30 minutes, then I take them through a meditation. So that's all of package A there for $97. And and then I've got package B, and package B includes all of package A plus 3 1-hour live group sessions with me, and you'll get the links for those if you buy package B. And each of those sessions are one session for each of the three aspects that I addressed in package A. And then there are two more pre-recorded guided meditations. And one is the Song of the Whales, which I sung to the whales. And the other one is the Temple of Sacred Waters, which was an actual place on Lemuria where women did sacred work. And aside from all of those, you also have a personal gong sound bath track that I will create for you if you purchase package B. So that's a 15-minute personal gong sound bath track. It helps you with any issues that you've asked me to focus on. Of course, it'll include gongs and light language codes and me singing during the track, and anything else that comes up for you as I'm creating your track. And I've had clients play their personal gong sound bath tracks, many times over during the night. Someone said to me they put it on a loop and listen to it all night as they're sleeping. I've got other clients who are listening to their personal tracks when they feel they need to be uplifted, sometimes after a very hard day at work. I've even created a personal gong sound bath track for a 3-month-old baby
And because there was some work that needed to be done for the child to help it fully establish itself in the physical world. And so it doesn't matter what age you are.
Awesome.
This is for you. It's your very own unique track, and it works with your body and your, well, all your bodies. Mm-hmm. And it may take some time for your body to integrate the light codes. So this is why I have clients listening to their tracks over and over. To really get their bodies used to the frequencies and to integrate the frequencies into their bodies. So, and I think the package B is
$147. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, as you started talking about the personal gong soundtrack, I just started sweating. Like, I'm just like, yeah. Sweating the front and the back, you know. So I was like, ah, okay. As you started talking about that, I was like, all right, what's going on here? You know, so if any of you are being, you know, affected during this conversation, you know, just ask, hey, what's going on here? Is this something that I require? You know, and if you have questions about it, you can ask now. If you know, if you have questions about, can this help me with, yes, ABC XYZ, because sometimes you know, we wonder, it's like, okay, what is a personal gong sound bath track gonna do for me, right? Is it just for physical stuff? Is it just for emotional stuff? Is it just for mental stuff? You know, is it, you know, what can it do?
Sure. It isn't just for one thing, like it, you know, nothing is in separation, you know. Mm-hmm. Your emotions are connected to your mind and your thoughts, and it's connected to your words, and it's connected to your energetic bodies, and it's all connected. Now, so if there is one area out of balance, then it puts everything else out of balance. And so it's not like the medical system where you take a pill for one thing and it should, right, alleviate that thing. You know, this is the entirety, the wholeness, the holiness, mm-hmm, of your body, you know, which is more than just the physical aspects of it. And so it addresses all those levels, which is what light language does. It goes to every part that it is required in. So it's, and again, you know, I have clients who still listen to their personal gong tracks months after they've received them, and they still come back to me with, every time I listen, there is something new. Mm-hmm. And they're discovering new levels, deeper levels of their personal gong sound bath tracks. So it's a gift that keeps on giving. So give yourself the gift.
Yeah, I'm getting that it's about bringing you into balance and harmony as well.
Yeah.
Is what absolutely I was getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's our natural state of being. I mean, if you think about it, when we're newborn babies, we're in alignment with everything. We're completely balanced. We're in alignment with our soul and with the creator and with everything around us, and it's only as we grow and learn that we learn separation, we learn you know, habits that are role modeled to us on a regular basis, and we absorb it all like a little sponge. But you know, in that moment when we're born, it's complete alignment and balance. And so this is how we were in Lemuria. It's about the balance. It's about alignment with everything, so that we can, if you want to think about it, like tuning into a radio station that streams every other radio station. Mm-hmm. but you hear it. You can choose which you want to hear. It's a symphony. It's like a symphony, but then you can tune in to hear just one part, one instrument playing for a little while before you zone out. And you sort of kind of zoom out and listen to the entirety of the orchestra.
So it's available there. That multi-dimensionality is available there, and we can tune into little parts of it, but then we can also step back and admire the whole bigger picture as well.
I love that. And you're right. Sometimes we do need to look at the bigger picture because we get so bogged down by the details of the yeah. small little things, right? So we need to, you know, expand out and take a look at the bigger picture. And then I feel like when we do that, then we can just breathe and relax more into yes. it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then we're in alignment. Then we have peace inside.
Yeah.
Then, you know, everything is, you know, as it was, that was originally given to us as our birthright.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're connecting back into, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. That is our abilities, you know, it is within our Akash already to know to get to our DNA functioning at 55%. So raising your vibration, you know, activates the different parts of your DNA and gets you to that 55% level. Mm-hmm. So of course then, you know, all the other gifts come through, the telepathy, the, you know, all, you know, everything that we had back then in Lemuria, that sense of peace, the deep spiritual connection, the unconditional love that we felt each and every moment of each and every day, that is within your Akash for you to bring that back. And then we can go beyond that, of course, because the Star Mother's DNA, of course, was functioning at 88% when she came. So she was from an ascended race, and even as a member of an ascended race, she did not treat us to be any less than what she was, because we are one. If you think about the term namaste,
mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of people say it. It's like okay, yeah, namaste, you know, everybody's sort of floating, namaste, you know. But if we really think and stop and think about that word namaste, then it is Sanskrit for the divinity within me sees and acknowledges the divinity within you.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take a moment to actually take a breath into that word and feel the word and understand that there is divinity within us, we have to do that first. We have to find the divinity within us first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then to acknowledge it and extend that acknowledgement to the other, that you too have divinity within you, then that the world would start to change very quickly if we recognize this is how we are one. We each have that God spark within us.
Mm-hmm.
We each have that divinity within us. We're no different. We're just going through different stuff at different times, but we are one. We all come from the same source. So that really stopping and breathing into that helps a lot of people. And just locate that divinity within you. Well, let's just do that. Let's just do that.
Let's do it.
You know, just close our eyes and just take that deep breath in. Namaste.
Namaste.
And just really feel, where is that resonating within you? The God within me acknowledges the God within you. It is the same God. It comes from the same source. You are another me. Where is that inside of you? Just take another deep breath into that. Shinehi akunu homo. Horea kani ha kunute shuni amokunuhea ulo halia kinia. We are one.
And just take another deep breath. Bring your awareness to the present moment. And just practice finding that within you each and every day. Find it within you, get used to feeling it within you. And then the next step will be to acknowledge it within others. And the challenge will really come when you have somebody yelling at the top of your voice at you. And can you see the divinity within that person in that moment? That's where the compassion comes in, because clearly they too have the divinity within them, but there is something that is distressing them in that moment. There is something that they cannot find any other way to express except through raising their voice and expressing through anger. So then the compassion comes up to understand that they are going through something, perhaps something that you cannot understand, and regardless of whether you can understand it or not, you still acknowledge the divine within them, because the yelling isn't about you, it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Absolutely. Yep. And how often have we forgotten that we ourselves are also divine, you know? And, you know, I mean, it's easy to forget that the other person is, but, you know, we ourselves are also divine. You know, how often have you acknowledged that? Have you seen that? Have you touched that space within? When you do start to see that within, then you'll start to see it in others as well. And you're right. This also brings about the compassion for yourself, you know, even those moments when you have forgotten that you are divine. You know, and you react and you lash out, or you do certain things. Don't forget, you are still divine, even then.
Yes. And absolutely we are. And it's about forgiving ourselves, you know, and later in contemplation, we could think, you know, I could have handled that a lot better. And so, the forgiveness for self, yeah. You know, which is part of your self-love, self-care, you know, is also there. As you said, the compassion, the love, the understanding, the acceptance and tolerance of your own stuff, you know, how you show up in the world will then also assist greatly in doing all of that for others. But, start with the locating the divinity within you first.
it's definitely there
it's there. So if you cannot feel it within yourself, then you cannot recognize it in others. So you've got to locate it within yourself first, and then go out to the rest of the world with it.
And if you do recognize it in others, then remember it is also within you. That's why you can recognize it in others. You know, absolutely. sometimes we forget that part. You know, we recognize it in others, we see their greatness, we see their magnificence, we see the gift that they are, and we forget that we are also that, right?
Yes, absolutely. You are magnificent as well. You just haven't realized it.
You've just forgotten, you know, you've forgotten.
Absolutely. It's always been there. You know, some people say, oh, this is coming to you, you're becoming something, and think, no, I'm not becoming that. I've always been that. I've just forgotten that it was there.
Yeah, I'm just remembering who I am, right?
Because we were that, and especially in Lemuria, we knew all of that about ourselves, you know. Yeah. So now it's just a remembering of who we truly are.
Yeah.
We always have been that. It hasn't gone away. We've just forgotten about that part of ourselves. We kind of shoved it into some dark corner and forgot about it. But, close the door to the storeroom.
Exactly. So now it's time to open that door, see what's there again, bring it back into your life here and now. And, you know, use that knowledge, use that wisdom, use those gifts to create the life that you desire, to have more joy, more peace, more ease. And whatever else that you would like to experience. It's all about experiencing, right?
Absolutely. And remember, it doesn't, it was some, for some it comes at once, mm-hmm. and for some it's a process, you know. So however that works for you, that is how it's meant to work for you, and accept that, you know. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, it's not a race.
It's not a race.
It's not a race.
I have to tell myself that. I always think, I'm in a hurry. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, so many different things. But you know what? Whatever gets done in this lifetime. And then we'll come back and we'll start not from the beginning, but from just, you know, from where we were now to, and we'll keep going, right?
Yeah. We could just pick up where we left off and we'll carry on. I mean, I see children all the time that, you know, there are, you know, an 11-year-old singing like a, you know, an operatic diva, you mm-hmm. know, like, how does she know that? She didn't have that many years to train for that. Right. So clearly she's picking it up and bringing it through, you know, or, yeah. or, you know, a 7-year-old who can get on an electric guitar and, you know, do some amazing riffs. You think, where did you learn that, you know, or, yeah. You know, just the wisdom that comes from children these days. They're amazing. I love it. And I can just, exactly. I can hardly wait. I mean, I don't want to check out just yet. I've got lots of things to do, you know, yeah. in this lifetime yet. But, you know, when I do get to that point, I can hardly wait because I'm tired of reinventing the wheel.
I hear you.
Where I left off.
So I totally hear you. I totally agree. But yes, we are no longer reinventing the wheel. We're just going to bring in our gifts, connect to our gifts, and just create, right?
Because they do. They know. They know by the age of 5. They know who they are. They know what they want and what they're going to do. So not like us. We spent half a lifetime trying to work out where are we, who are we, what's our purpose, and we still don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's funny. It's fun. We can laugh about it now, but at the time it's like, oh my God.
But I know. But they know. And then, you know, I don't envy the parents today because, you know, they know the way they grew up and they were still reinventing the wheel. And then they get these kids that know that seem arrogant at times as well, I would imagine, and headstrong and, you know, so I'm...
Well, maybe you'll have grandchildren, then you'll see what it's like.
I know. Well, maybe I will. Who knows? No, I haven't yet, but you never know. But, you know, it's just amazing watching them, you know, and seeing what they're bringing forward. And I think, wow, the world's really going to change now.
So it's really showing us what else is possible now, right? Well, you know, how everything is changing and shifting. So gives us hope. Yeah. Gives us hope, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a client sharing with me a couple of weeks ago about her autistic son who is telling his teachers what they should know. They don't know it, but they should know it. And why don't you know it? And, mm-hmm. you know, asking them those sort of questions and really putting them
on the spot. You know,
on the spot, yeah. And so it's like, well, yay, bring it forward, you know, because we need more of you guys that think outside this square.
Yeah, exactly. It's time to think differently too. Absolutely. You know, it's like just the promise of Lemurian energy coming back on the planet through all of us and so many more is definitely going to be shifting and changing how we function, right? And the dynamics of the planet and the dynamics of men and women on the planet and what we're doing and how we're moving forward. So I'm so excited to hear more about in Lemuria Part 2. Right, today we're kind of only talking about Part 1. So I'm anxious to hear more about Part 2 in the future, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. There will be a Part 2. And for those who, you know, who are interested in the topic, I know there's a lot of stuff out there. And what I did want to say that what meant the, when I said temples of Lemuria with a twist, the temples were not actually physical buildings, if you like, in Lemuria. I know we'd like to think of them as physical buildings, but I really came to that realization more than a year ago now as I traveled and visited places like Stonehenge and other stone circles, and mm-hmm. then had that tremendous vision that I had at Glastonbury, and I was taken back to the original temple of Mu, and saw that, you know, it's not so much about the building. It's not really a building. It's like a stone circle, mm-hmm. in fact. You know, it's minimalistic, but it just marks an area on the land. But I've gone even beyond that with these temples, because, of course, this is new understanding this year with all the information that's been coming through. So that's why it's Temples of Lemuria with a twist.
I love it. So, you know, yeah, that's like, I wonder what the twist is, other than the fact that, you know, there's just so much more for us to learn, right? So much more wisdom is coming through, like you said, and energy is coming through to help us to understand, you know, about not just the past, but how we're moving into the future now, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, and it's, you know, information that's coming back from the, from our Akash. It, we know, we already know this, we're just remembering it. And once we reach that 55% part of our DNA function, and then there's more, there'll be new, different, other information coming through that'll help us with the next few steps beyond that. So for now, we have, or, you know, it was seated in our Akash back in Lemuria, so that should humanity ever reach this point of ascension, should we choose the path of ascension, this information would be available to us. And this is why it's coming from our Akash now. So we still have a ways to go, but rest assured, once we have reached that point, then of course there'll be more guidance coming forward. And of course, all of this is leading us, you know, every year is getting more and more intense, and it's preparing us for the following year. Right. And of course, I say this every year now. But, I mean, 2020 is huge.
Yeah, every year seems to be huge. Yeah, lots of changes.
But even more, you know, so you don't think it could get any more. You think, no, it's got to plateau out at some stage, but it doesn't, because it keeps getting more and more. And then, you know, of course, we've got that massive lineup of planets and stars next year as well that we have not seen for a long, long time in our skies. So, so all of that's bringing in even more information. And, you know, I'm sort of operating on a global level, so I hear a lot of different practitioners from around the world, and there's a lot of talk about disclosure, you know, full disclosure from governments, full disclosure from, you know, multinational companies. And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of people crossing their fingers and hoping that there'll be a lot more disclosure about our galactic family, which of course have always been here on the planet. They're just in a quantum state, and we're not quite at the same frequency. Well, right. Some of us are not at the same frequency to be able to see them and hear them. But if you raise your frequency, if you raise your vibration, you will be able to tune into them. So again, like a radio station, you've got to fine tune to get to that level. And it's on your in the upper levels of your dial.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you know, so they too are saying, you know, it's time. You know, they too are watching very closely and looking out for the right moment to step out and to be seen and acknowledged finally after all this time, because they were very much part of our lives in Lemuria. It was, I mean, they look different to us. They hold a different energy to us, but we did not see them as being any different to us at all. You know, it's that namaste, or that, you know, the ancient Mayan greeting in Lakesh, Alakin, you are another me. So they were very much part. I mean, you know, when you grow up with them, then there's no thinking that there's anything different out there, except this is normal. That was normal for Lemuria.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully it'll get normal for us once again.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to happen next year, but you're right. There's, you know, every year seems to be intense and every year seems to be intensifying more and more. So it just, what that means is it's time for us to do our work, you know, so do our own internal work too, so that we can have ease when the years are intense, right?
Yes. Yes. We can't kind of just skip by anymore. We have to be doing our work. We have to be going inward and looking at ourselves honestly and clearing all those things that we are not. You know, I always like talking about that lovely story, you know, when the child is born, it's born with a perfect bowl of light, pure light. And as we get older, we start to put pebbles in the bowl, and not only does the bowl get heavy, but it obscures our light. So yeah. Our challenge now is to start taking those pebbles out one by one so that we can have our beautiful light shining out into the world, and we can be who we truly are, mm-hmm. because all these things are who we are not mostly.
Right. Yep.
And so we can be who we are, and we can anchor this beautiful light that we are on the planet, and we can keep going on the ascension process. Again, it's a journey. It's not about the end goal. Mm-hmm. It is a journey, and it is a journey of many, many lifetimes.
Many, many lifetimes. And we are all ascending. So we are all ascending. Yeah. You know, it's just,
yes,
the more that we do the internal work, the more ease we have with the ascension as well.
Yes, and the more work we do, the more we flow, the less resistance there is within us, the more our light shines, and the easier it gets.
Exactly. And if you would like to have it even more easier, take a look at the special offers that Maya has for you today, and they're available at alara.at/show/Maya6. Has the sun come out now?
It has. I just wanted to share with you my beautiful garden.
Beautiful. Yes, thank you. And enjoy the solstice, because it's already
the solstice, yes.
We will enjoy it here tomorrow, you know. Thank you so much, Maya. This was absolutely wonderful. I love the meditation and the 5-minute, you know, music track as well, as well as all of the wisdom. You know, all of the wisdom, whenever we talk about Lemuria, I'm always so excited and entranced by the information and the wisdom coming through. So thank you so, so much. And thank you, everybody, for being here and for your comments and questions as well. So, yeah, that was awesome. I loved it.
Thank you for having me once again, Alara, and thank you to your listeners and everyone that was on the live call. I love you all. Shinehi akunumakiana.
Beautiful. Namaste, everyone.
Thank you. Namaste.
Yeah. And until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.
Bye.